Listen with me for the word of the Lord. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I've heard on more than one occasion a coach or perhaps a successful business leader, maybe even a leader in government, who've said, "At times in my life, I get so wrapped up in my work, winning, accomplishing, doing great things, that if I'm not careful, I get my priorities out of whack. I forget first things are first: family, faith, and love of those around me." Well, this seems to be an introduction to what Luke is saying to us today about the words of Jesus as he travels with these followers. As he grabs our attention, very first things, by using these strong words of hyperbole. That's easy for me to say, isn't it? Where he challenges us, he says, if you don't love me with everything, you're not worthy to be me, as Matthew would say. Matthew softens it a little bit, but Luke here says, you must hate your father and mother, children, or anything that separates you from the love of me. Well, certainly our God is love, and Jesus would never literally mean for us to hate those that we've been entrusted to minister to most of all, most intimately in our life, our family members. But to help us to understand this challenge of hyperbole, this exaggerated context and contradiction that Jesus makes between loving him and loving others, it helps us to understand that in the first century, there was little more important than family. And if they weren't careful, even a great commitment to your family in that culture could get out of balance. If you serve family above anyone else, took advantage of others for the benefit of your family, you weren't worthy to be called a follower of Christ. You weren't walking in his ways. I love the song that we sang this morning. Doesn't it set the tone as Jennifer picked out this song that would go along with our text today? What a message. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will follow into place. As I spoke of those coaches, leaders, government leaders, business people, if we're not careful, we can place so much emphasis, I've done it, perhaps you have, on winning or in accomplishing in whatever our task, our profession is, that everything else loses emphasis. It hurts our family. It hurts our love for the neighbor if all it is about is a disproportionate emphasis on one thing that are the wrong things. Jesus says we should have a disproportionate emphasis on one thing, but it all begins with loving him. You see, when we first love God, It enhances and impacts our love in every other aspect of our life. You know what blows my mind beyond what I can conceive is how the love of God is different from every other asset or resource in the world around us. As we all know, we live in a consumeristic culture, right? The more we consume of something, or the more we give away of something, the less of it we have, right? So oftentimes our tendency is to be very restrictive, very cautious, very determined about what we give and what we do with our time because we know it is finite and limited, correct? But the gospel and the call of Jesus Christ here today is to love fully, to give all of our love to God. And you know what happens when we love God with everything we have? We have even more love to give to others around us. Wow. You see how it's different from the resources that run out? The more we practice love, the more we live out being Christ's hand and feet to our expanded family, our neighbors around us, the more love we will also have for our family members. You know, God is not saying in this text, as He challenges us today, He says, if you don't love me with all your heart, you're not worthy of me. He's not telling us not to love family. Also, when He says, take up my cross and follow me, He's not telling us not to care for ourselves as well. When He says, you shouldn't have any possessions, if we gave away everything, we'd be no better off than the other persons we're trying to help. His challenge, it seems, in this text today is to let none of these, our health, our wealth, our relationships, come ahead of our relationship with the One who made us and the One who saves us. Because if we really want to impact our finances positively, our leadership, our business positively, our health positively, our marriage, our relationships with our coworkers, if we want all of those to be the best they can be, you know what we need to do? We don't start with them. We start with God. Oftentimes when I meet with couples, pre-marriage counseling, that's one of the first messages I give them. If you can get your relationship rooted in God first, that will enhance your marriage for a lifetime. I say that as one who's experienced. Relationships are hard, right? Whether they're family relationships, working relationships, it takes effort. And we need God to be the strength and guide for us throughout them. And our seminary community, where I get to share in a weekly basis, we're going through a strategic planning process. I've shared that with some of you. And so often in my capacity as president, it's hard for me to get past the numbers, right? The finances, the enrollment, because that's kind of what's on my watch at the end of the day. But as you're planning, leadership experts will tell you, if you're driven only by the finances, you're never going to truly have a sustainable mission and fruitfully impact those you serve and those you serve with. In other words, as we've all known who've taken different jobs or changed professions, there's no amount of money that can make you happy if you're in a miserable occupation, right? Well, so much so is that in a church, as we consider our strategic planning, or a seminary. If it makes sense financially, but we're not truly embodying our mission, we're never going to have joy in what we do together. We must be mission-driven before anything else. You see, that's at the heart of what this text is saying today. We as Christians should be first and foremost mission-driven to be followers of Christ. Now, what is our mission? We know it. We know those words of the Great Commission, right? The very last commission, mission that Jesus gave to us as His church was this: go make disciples of all nations. What does it mean to be a disciple? Once again, we come back to this text. A disciple is nothing more than a follower of Jesus. So friends, if we keep our mission as a seminary, as a church, as a family, centered first on what's most important, making followers of Jesus, us as well, followers who first follow Him. Like my dog Dash that we talked about earlier. We can make it so complex and confusing. We forget who we are called to follow first. If we follow Christ, we will embody the words of this song that said it today too. Seek ye first God's kingdom, then your marriage, then your family, then your work, then your finances, then every other, friends, I promise you, aspect of your life will be more joy-filled if you start with God. I say that with one who's oftentimes started with other things, reached out to addictions, reached out to things that left me empty instead of placing my emphasis first and foremost on Christ. When we do that, He will nurture us and give us our best life. You see, doesn't it seem like an oxymoron? It seems like a paradox. If we want to benefit our finances, our marriage, our church the best, if we're focused only on our needs as a congregation, we're not going to be living out the love of Christ. But when we open the doors of this congregation, when we say that we're about providing light and love in this community, when we live for the other and our neighbor as our brother itself, that will be the biggest blessing to us as well when we try to serve the other. Begin by first seeking Christ. Isn't that what it means to take up the cross? That complex challenge of our text today, as we spoke of in our Bible study this week, that was one of the conclusions that Jennifer pulled from that text, was this: to take up our cross is ultimately saying, live beyond self, live for the other. That's the essence of the love Jesus embraced us with, that encouraged Him to sacrifice His very life that we may have life. But hear this, not simply life, but in Him, life more abundantly. So friends, I know this text is probably preaching to you hard today, because it is to me. But the call to count the cost of following Christ, to live for the other and live beyond ourselves, is also the call to know the joy of our salvation. That's what John said as he quoted Jesus in John chapter 10 about the good shepherd, right? I am the good shepherd. Those who come to me will have life, but not just life. Life in abundance. This is the call for our best life, when we live our life not just for ourselves, but for the other. We're going to have a celebration of a life here this afternoon. My dear friend Leon Bailey, private family gathering. We're going to remember and have a prayer time and a fellowship time. And I can't think of this firm rock in our church without thinking of someone who really embodied the call of this text today, that it's always about God first. I'll never forget Lauren telling me, no matter how late he stayed out at a ball game or doing something work-related, he was going to get that Sunday school lesson out. He was going to study that book. He was going to be ready for his Sunday school class that next Sunday morning. And tireless, as Diane and I were talking about this week, in giving of himself to his church. Leon kept things simple. He knew that it was all about, first and foremost, living for God. That would impact his family, his business, and everything else. What a great gift he was to our church. and a reminder to us that if we begin with counting the cost of following Christ, the challenges of giving of self, of giving of our finances, of giving of our gifts, of sharing time for others, of studying the Word, of taking time away from our family to spend even with God. If we consider all of those costs, well beyond the cost is the benefit and joy that only God can give. Friends, if there's room for more joy in your life, would you try it? Just take the challenge of this text today where Jesus says to those earthly followers, if you'll follow me, if you'll love the Father with all your heart, soul, and mind, and make this priority number one, then everything else will be blessed in turn if we seek first the kingdom of God. Amen.